Argument is United States versus Santiago Ochoa. Mr. Gutierrez.
May it please the court,
Mr. Ferguson.
Your Honor, this case comes up on two distinct theories for relief. First theory is the theory that the underlying deportation was fundamentally infirm so as to violate his constitutional right to due process. The hurdle in that argument, of course, is the ruling of Gomez-Chavez, which suggests that somehow the reinstatement of a deportation washes away all of the infirmities of the initial deportation. Under the fast track, or I should say under the expedited removal statute, the first deportation on a second reentry is reinstated without hearing, merely putting forward the first deportation. And the ruling is that the ruling by Judge Shader was that once, under the law, once the person reenters a second time, that the first deportation proceeding is somehow immunized from any deficiencies. And we suggest that perhaps the wiser approach would be to have the district court at least do some type of review, as the Ninth Circuit does in Gallo versus Alvarez. We're suggesting, and respectfully suggesting, that that's the wiser approach, other than this this rebirth of the reinstatement, cleansing out any constitutional infirmities. The second argument is the more direct argument, which says that if the 16-level enhancement, if there was any leeway, right, from a judicial standpoint for finding that the 16-level enhancement did not apply because of the prior existing conviction in terms of an aggravated conviction, that if the court had leeway to determine whether 16 points in aggravation, if the guidelines were not binding, as we know now that they're merely advisory, that the court could have given something else other than the 16-level enhancement. And this court has avoided the constitutional question on this issue on Almendarez-Torres and has followed the Palladino mandate of if it cannot tell from the record whether the judge would have shown some discretion in the actual 16-point departure, then the court has remanded those with instructions to essentially make a more definitive statement whether the court, here Judge Shader, would have taken some consideration and departed downward from, instead of imposing the 16-level enhancement.
What did he say? I don't understand.
Well, he believed that he was bound.
Where is the transcript of his sentencing? Is that part of the appellate record?
The sentencing transcript?
Yes.
Yes, I would think it would be.
I haven't seen it. Was the sentence before or after our decision in Booker?
It had just come after the decision in Booker. I believe it was still pending in the Supreme Court, but it was before the Palladino decision.
Well, I don't understand. After our decision in Booker, Judge Shader would have been bound to treat the guidelines as advisory, wouldn't he? Mm.
Well, he followed the guidelines, Judge. And I don't believe there was any indication that Judge Shader specifically said either, look, I'm bound by this, or it's my decision to apply.
Was our Booker decision drawn to his attention?
Yes, Judge. And
well, if he was complying with that decision, he couldn't treat the guidelines as mandatory, unless you agreed they should be mandatory.
I didn't agree that they should be mandatory, Judge. I believed that the court felt bound by the 16-level enhancement and imposed a sentence at the bottom end of the guideline.
Well, the government conceded that he felt they were mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't recall that specifically.
We'll ask them when they come up.
Yes. I know that the government conceded that, or I should say demurred, that there may have been some errors in the first in the first deportation proceedings, but focused on the fact that I didn't raise any errors in the second reinstatement. But that's
I'm talking about
addressing the first issue.
Right.
Sentencing. The guidelines, that Judge Shader treated the guidelines as mandatory. The government is not arguing that he did not treat them as mandatory.
Right. Well, I believe that Judge Shader was the was a strong proponent in finding persons who were eligible for the 16-level enhancement to give some type of reduction, but he did not in this case. I believe, perhaps because he felt bound by them. I wouldn't see any other reason why Judge Shader wouldn't have departed downward on this. I didn't ask for a downward departure. I asked that the 16-level enhancement was unconstitutional, and Judge Shader said he couldn't change the Constitution or he couldn't reach that question, as rightly so he couldn't at the time. And my belief is that if given an opportunity, Judge Shader would have departed downward from this 16-level enhancement.
Well, our Booker case gave him that opportunity.
Well, I think that the subsequent case of Roque Espinoza didn't indicated that the Seventh Circuit at least wasn't in a position to entertain anything but the 16-level enhancement. And he did sentence Mr. Santiago Ochoa at the bottom end of the guideline, incorporating the 16-level enhancement.
And just so I'm clear on this transcript issue, you ordered the transcript for the sentencing?
Yes, Judge. Now, whether I returned the transcripts.
Yeah, and it was filed.
Yeah, I'm not
here in the Court of Appeals. Yes. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, it was filed, but I'm not entirely sure if I returned them. So
you took out the original, not a copy.
Not a copy.
So you're not sure if you returned the original to the court?
That's correct, Judge. I mean, if they're not here, and
so you can certainly go check in your office.
Yes, I can check.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Gutierrez.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr.
Walter.
Ferguson?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. There are indeed two theories which are raised by.
So, what's the story with the transcript
right.
and with Judge Shader's sentencing after our Booker decision?
Judge Shader, well, first, with regard to the transcript issue, if I could, I can simply say that the transcript was not included in the record on appeal as I checked it out of this court. And it's my belief, though I can't obviously point to underlying facts other beyond that the transcript may not have been ordered, or at any rate was not at any point included in the record on appeal. And that was my assumption and understanding at the time. I can simply tell you, though, as a matter of fact, that it was not included when I checked the record out from this court.
So why do you think Judge Shader treated the guidelines as mandatory after our Booker decision?
Because, Your Honor, at that time, in the Booker decision, as I understood it, and as I think Judge Shader understood it at the time, and I'm answering Your Honor's question by going beyond the record in the absence of the transcript, this court had held the application of the guidelines to be unconstitutional and had focused on the issue of judicial fact-finding versus jury fact-finding. That issue, which was a narrow issue that this court faced in Booker, was not presented to Judge Shader because these issues were, in fact, resolved by the plea agreement. There were really only two sentencing-type issues raised. One was the enhancement for the prior conviction, and I guess actually only the one, there are really two facets to it, I should say. And the defendant had, in fact, as part of the plea agreement, it was a bargained for matter at the time of representation by counsel, had bargained for, had admitted that he had been previously convicted of an aggravated felony, a crime of violence, and had agreed to a guideline calculation which included the 16-point enhancement. So at that point, this issue was not presented to Judge Shader because it was one that had been stipulated by the party, so the narrow issue the court had addressed in Booker was really not in the case. Now, the issue that subsequently arose in the Supreme Court decision, affirming this court's decision in Booker, the issue of the the advisory nature of the guidelines really wasn't presented nor discussed at that time, and I don't think it was anticipated by the parties. And in the brief that I filed in this court, the government raised this issue, and I think that it is impossible, based not only on the record but on my own presence at the sentencing hearing, for me to state one way or another whether or not Judge Shader would have entered the same sentence if he had known of the subsequent Supreme Court holding. The court is aware that the Department of Justice is not in agreement with this court's Palladino decision, but we recognize it as the law of the circuit and obviously respect it as an important precedent of this court. And I do not think it would be by any means inappropriate under the Palladino decision for the court to remand this decision to Judge Shader. The sentence obviously imposed was a very substantial sentence. The sentence imposed was also at the bottom of the guidelines. I think that, again, if the court adheres to Palladino, it would be wise on this narrow issue that it be
I thought it actually was a remand. Light sentence.
Beg your pardon?
I thought it was a light sentence.
Well,
that's a heavy sentence?
It's a heavy sentence, perhaps, in terms of
but he keeps popping back up in the United States after being deported, right?
I didn't say it was heavier on in terms of specifics. I said it was a substantial sentence in terms, perhaps, of historical practice in immigration cases. But
he'll be back the day after he's released.
I have no doubt that Your Honor is correct on that. But I do think
I don't know why you think it's a severe sentence.
Well, I'm not saying severe again, Your Honor. My word was substantial. It involves quite a number of years. And certainly Judge Shader may take a different view. I can't predict it on this record. And so, as I say, substantial, whether it's too severe, I think, is in the first instance for Judge Shader to decide, not for me or for this court.
And we'll have to determine whether it's reasonable.
And then it would undoubtedly, if the court does decide to remand this, that issue would presumably ultimately be presented to the court for reasonableness. Mm-hmm. As to the first issue, I will simply say, Judge, that neither in the district court nor in his brief in this court has the defendant acknowledged nor dealt with the fact that there is in the file a form I-851, which appears on its face to be a standard form of the then Immigration and Naturalization Service, which advises the defendant of his rights, of his right to counsel, which advises him where he can, or at least alludes to the fact he's been told where he can get counsel, which reflects that these advices were given to him in both English and Spanish, and that he then waived, after I might add, to having been given consular access. So this theory, however interesting it may be in the abstract, is untethered from the reality of this case and from the facts contained in the record.
And then, Mr. Ferguson, even if that wasn't the case with respect to the first deportation, there hasn't been no challenge with respect to the second in terms of whether he was given his rights and what he waived, correct?
Indeed, that is correct, Your Honor, and that's also something argued in our brief. If there are any further questions, I'll address them. Otherwise, thank you, the Court, for this time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ferguson. And Mr. Gutierrez, do you have anything further? How much time does he
have?
Okay.
The only thing I would like to say, just if I may, is that The second deportation, even though it's technically a second deportation, it's a streamlined reinstatement. And the streamlined reinstatement, you don't get the same protection. You're not afforded the same protection. You don't have the right to counsel. You have the right to go out and if you can afford it, buy counsel. But really, it's just a reinstatement of the first. So it's not.
Well, isn't there paperwork though that's signed? Isn't that waiver and the explanation of rights done at the? I understand it's not as broad a process, but identical paperwork is filed. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. And court will be in recess until next Monday.